for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, May the 27th, 2016. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on Evil Spirit of Rejection.
For I, the Lord, would say to my people tonight that I am your God, and I have come this night to do you good. Yea, I see all, and I know all, saith the Lord. But I am God in the mountain, and I'm God in the valley, and I'm God in your situation. There is nothing that you would ever go through that I, the Lord, do not see. For I watch over my word, and I come to perform my word. I come to complete my word and my will in your life. Yea, I say, look to me, saith the Lord, and know that I will not leave you, and I will not fail you, for I am the Lord thy God, and I do come to do you good. And I say unto you tonight, shake off the dead weights, shake off the chains, shake off the bondages, and know that I have come to really set you free. I come to set you free in your mind. I come to set you free in your soul. I come to heal your body. I come this day to do you good, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For I am your God, and I alone will do thee good, saith the Lord thy God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for technology. Jesus didn't need an iPad, did he? No. Well, Lord, we just come before your throne. We thank you for this camp. Thank you for Meryl and Barbara and Patty and Kevin and Sandy and Linda and Dan and Crystal and all their children. Lord, we thank you for Rick. We thank you for all the workers at this camp, Lord. We thank you for Barbara and for what you're doing, Lord. We pray that you'll comfort her while Meryl is here. And we thank you for him being here, Lord. We thank you that you've given us a leader of this camp, Lord, that loves you with his whole heart, mind, soul, and body. Lord, I thank you for the way that he knows how to worship you. Thank you that he's a worshiper. Lord, we just love you. We pray today that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from our innermost being. Lord, I ask that you be glorified above all. In Jesus' name, I pray that every person that came with a spirit of rejection will leave free, knowing that they're accepted in the Beloved. Lord, we thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and we take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the authority that you've given us to bind and loose. And Lord, we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this camp, our personal ministries, our lives, our children, our possessions, or anything that concerns us. We declare you're bound. We bind the strong man in Jesus' name. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us, this camp, our ministries, the saints all over this earth. We pray a special covering of warrior angels over around us to boomerang back on the enemy every curse and assignment. sin against us, not to kill them, hurt them, harm them, but so they'll fear God and turn away from evil. Father, I pray that even if I say it wrong, they'll hear it right. I bind any spirits that would twist words in their ears. I just ask you, Lord, I ask you to loose over each person. In fact, I loose over each person. Ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand and turn and be healed. And the truth, Lord, I bind us to the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to speak on a spirit of rejection tonight. And if I can get this iPad to cooperate with me, Lord, I thank you and praise you for iPads. I praise you, Lord, for that you said if I open my mouth wide, you'll fill it. So I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. But before I teach on an evil spirit of rejection, I want to make a distinction between the evil spirit of rejection and the inevitable rejection that comes in when you're a follower of Christ. You know, when Christ is in you, you will be rejected because people are rejecting the Christ that's in you. The Bible says that Noah condemned the world by his righteousness, by the way he lived. And not only that, today we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the righteousness that's in us is his righteousness in us. And so Jesus said, if they rejected you, they're going to reject me. He says in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, the one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me and rejects the one who sent me. And he said in Matthew 12, before he said that, he said, you know, in fact, you can expect rejection if you're going to follow Christ. In fact, you're to welcome it as approved of God. He said in chapter 5, verse 12, 11 and 12, blessed are you when men cast insults at you and say all manner of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. In John 15:18, he said, if the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you, because the world loves its own. Because you are not of the world, and because I chose you out of the world hates you. So we can expect and welcome rejection. Now, I'm not to the place where I rejoice and be exceedingly glad. But God says that we're to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is our reward in heaven. You know, sometimes we think, what in the world, when people reject us, we think, now I'm not talking about evil spirit of rejection, but sometimes we're rejected because we're doing something right. If you're going to walk the narrow way, you're going to be rejected. When you're a fence rider, no one ever says anything to you. When you're lukewarm, nobody ever says anything. But when you want to follow God fully, all of a sudden you're some kind of weirdo to the world. And so sometimes you're being rejected. If Jesus is your Lord and you're loving people and you're trying to treat people right and you're forgiving people and you're trying to serve people and they don't respond to your love, you know, you can get hurt and take it personal, but it could be most of the time because Jesus is in you and they're rejecting Christ in you. They're not listening because they didn't listen to Jesus. They're rejecting you because they're rejecting him. But tonight I want to talk to you about the evil spirit of rejection that can be in us. And I believe probably all of us could say at one time or the other that we've all been rejected. And we can say probably we've rejected others. You know, I know in families sometimes, if you have children, we have a tendency to reject the kid that's most like us because we don't like ourselves. And we see things in that kid we don't like that's like us. And so that's what we're rejecting. And that's what we call kind of an unloving spirit, an Antichrist spirit. And so the principality of rejection works closely with the principality of fear. And they're over a lot of lesser fears and a lesser evil spirits. They're rulers over those spirits. Fear of failure, fear of confrontation, fear of speaking the truth in love, fear of making a mistake, fear of rejection, fear of what people think, fear of man, fear of confronting issues, fear of facing the truth, fear of being blamed, fear of not being perfect, fear of being ridiculed, fear of not confronting issues. And just multitudes of fears and other demons. But the spirit of rejection, the principality of rejection, works closely with the principality of fear. And all of these have their roots in idolatry, because when we're rejected, and most of our rejection comes down generationally, or how we were trained up in rejection. Sometimes if we're overprotected, we've been rejected because we've not been allowed to be who, or not been taught to be who we are. So if we're controlled or overprotected, sometimes that's a form of rejection. That also opens us up to procrastination. And all of these things have their roots in idolatry, because when we are rejected, if we don't take it to the cross, and we don't deal with it, we let the sun go down on it, then what happens? We turn to something else. Would you agree, if you don't turn to God in your pain, you're turning to something else?
Oh, yeah.
So we, in everything we go through, we're to go to God, deal with it His way, at His throne. Otherwise, we're letting the sun go down on it, and it becomes something that we begin to reap. And so, rejection means to cast from one, to throw away, to put aside. It means a person or thing being rejected is substandard, or has some flaw, or not up to perfection, according to the person that's rejecting. So rejection means to remove from our presence, to throw off. Rejection says that you're not accepted by God or by anybody, and to be accepted you have to perform, and then you find yourself not measuring up. You never measure up. A spirit of rejection is very prevalent. It comes in many ways. It can come in through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, and you can be born with the spirit of rejection. In fact, a lot of rejection comes down through the generations, especially if there's illegitimacy in the, or being illegitimately conceived, and that's in the generations. But it's been a process of getting free from the spirit of rejection for me. I remember once, in earlier years, I could be around peers. You know, if I was in a group of peers, and I'd always feel like that I was walled out. You know, a rejected person feels like they're on the outside looking in, and that can come down to a curse of illegitimacy, which I was under. And I remember I used to go to the minister's meeting in Lindale when I was a pastor, and I would always feel, you know, something rejected. And so one day it took me several days. I pulled up all the scriptures on cut off, rejected, and I went through the whole Bible, and I repented over all those scriptures. And the next time I went to that minister's meeting, they said, "Oh, Jerry, hi, how are you?" And I went, "I thought you were talking to me." Because I'd always felt like, you know, that I was on the outside looking in. When I was doing this message, the Lord showed me a bunch of areas where I was rejected growing up and had totally forgotten. So it's a process. Sanctification is a process. And so we can be born with it. And some of the ways it comes in, it can come in the womb, because babies can hear in the womb. They can hear if they're wanted or unwanted, loved or unloved, welcomed or rejected. They can absorb the mother's emotions in the womb. And the scripture that proves this is when John the Baptist, the Bible says when he heard Mary's voice, he leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb. In Luke chapter 1, verse 40, it says, "And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out in a loud voice and said, 'Blessed among you are women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And it's happened to me that the mother of my Lord has come to me. For when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy.'" And so if a person can leap for joy in the womb, they can also receive a spirit of sadness in the womb, especially if they hear they're not wanted or how they're conceived. It can come into an unwanted pregnancy through being illegitimately conceived, and an illegitimate curse goes 10 generations, which is 2,047 forefathers. And if we don't break that curse, it'll continue on each day until that curse is broken. The Bible says that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father, and so that was a good thing. And it wasn't his father. I believe it was Abraham was his grandfather, I believe. Not sure. But if we can pay tithes when we're in the womb of the loins of our forefathers, what's that to say about the negative things that happen in the loins of our forefathers? And so if a person is conceived illegitimately, like if your parents get pregnant before they marry, or maybe they never marry, then that curse, that's a 10-generation curse that just continues to loop generation after generation until we break it. But if a person is conceived in lust, he's born with a spirit of lust, with a root of rejection, a spirit of shame. The scripture says an illegitimate cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. And that's the spiritual place. And sometimes those of you who are ministering, or we minister to people, if they're under an illegitimate curse, we bring them into the sanctuary of the Lord. And that's the spiritual place. You can't see it with your naked eye, but that's the spiritual place, more real than this building we're in. And so with an illegitimate curse comes a root of rejection. And I know I was under that illegitimate curse because my great-great-grandmother conceived my grandfather. My great-great-grandfather or my great-great-grandfather under an illegitimate curse. And I always, my whole life, would feel like I was on the outside looking in. And that came down, that was on my dad, that was on my daddy, that was on my sisters. And so, praise God for deliverance. I thank God for the things that He set me free from. I hear people say, well, I'd like to go back to a certain age. I wouldn't want to go back one day. Every day gets better with Jesus, other than a few little problems we have that we're going to overcome in Jesus' name. You know, people that want to go back have never overcome anything. God wants us to be overcomers. You know, what Randy was talking about, born again. You know, I'm going to ask you, how many of you have accepted the Lord? How many of you have been born again? You know, you can accept the Lord and not been born again, and you're not saved. You know, I accepted the Lord when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham Grand Crusade, but my life didn't change. But I believed in the Lord from the time I was a little girl. I mean, I never remember a time I didn't believe in the Lord. But when I accepted Him, I got baptized, but my life didn't change. But when I was 25, I was born again, and everything about me changed. And I couldn't be the same way I used to be. In fact, a curse word came out of my mouth before I cursed like a sailor, and a curse word came out of my mouth, and I said, Lord, that doesn't sound like anything a Christian ought to say. And so God delivered me over 50 years ago of cursing, just, and I didn't even know about confessing my sin. But you know, if there's not been a change in your life, if you haven't become a new creation in Christ, you need to be born again. It's been estimated, Howard Pittman says, 10% of church members are saved. Only 10%. Leonard Ravenhill said only like 3% of church members are saved. And so there's lots of people walking around with a religious spirit. And that people with a religious spirit, they just deal with outward appearance. They never deal with their heart issues. And there's never any change. And don't tell me that somebody that accepts the Lord is going to heaven and has never been any fruit. God said you get cut off if you don't produce fruit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God wants us to be born again. He says, I think it's in John 3, that we have to be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. And so don't think because somebody's been saved and hadn't made Jesus Lord that they're saved. They're not. The Bible, the promises of God are the overcomer. Now, that doesn't mean a person, we were talking about this last night. A person, for example, if we're as obedient to the truth we know how to be, there's still lots about us we don't see. Is that right? There's still a lot of junk. But if we're as obedient as we know how to be and we have received Jesus, that's a pretty good sign we're saved. But if we're living after the world, the Bible says there's certain things that a person's not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And one of them is lying and not telling the truth. God wants this. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Jesus said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says no man comes to the Father except by Him. We can receive a spirit of rejection in the womb. And if you're young and you don't have children, most of us probably have already had our children. But if you have never had children and you've never been married and you haven't had children, don't discuss what you want. Don't say it's going to be a boy, it's going to be a girl, because baby's here.
My son that died of AIDS told me about a month before he died, he said, "Mom, I've always felt like I was a girl." You know, when he was in the womb, his daddy said, "You'll probably be a sissy." And I don't remember cursing him, but until after he was born. But I remember when they told me I had a little boy, my heart sank because I wanted a girl. I wanted a boy with my first child, but I wanted a girl. And so I remember when he was 2 weeks old, my aunt said, "Well, he's too pretty to be a little boy." And I was bathing him one day, and I said, "You'll just have to be my little girl." See, I spoke a curse over him. Words, death and life are the power of the tongue. The tongue sets on fire the very course of your life. So if you're pregnant, or one day your wife gets pregnant, or you get pregnant and you haven't had children, don't talk about what you want. Don't say what it is. And I personally am against these sonograms. I think that's totally demonic to take a sonogram, and you might not agree with me. But, you know, it's almost like the hidden parts are for God. But nowadays, they just do that as just a normal routine. But anyway, just put that on the shelf. But, you know, when you do x-ray or something and you're looking inside, that couldn't be of the Lord. But anyway, put it on the shelf. Your divorce. You know, when a daddy leaves or a mama leaves, can you imagine the rejection that a child feels? The Bible says the glory of children is their fathers, and if they never had a father, they have no glory. But God wants to be our glory, and praise God, He is the greatest glory anybody could have. But when a child doesn't have a daddy, what happens is the demons say, the Bible says the glory of children is their fathers, means that when we have a father, we have an aura in the spirit realm that the demons and the angels can see. And if we don't have a father, the demons say you can pick on him or her because they don't have a daddy. But if a kid has a daddy, he has this aura, and the demons say you better leave him alone because he's got a daddy to cover him, a godly daddy. So when a daddy leaves or when there's a divorce, a lot of times the child picks up rejection. Being orphaned or not growing up with your mom and dad, being left alone, raised by caretakers and by sitters, multiple marriages, stepfathers. You know, sometimes when you grow up, when you've got a stepfather and they have kids in the house and you have kids in the house, well, naturally you love your own kids the most. Sent off to boarding schools or orphanages. You know, is Angie here? Angie grew up in an orphanage, and I'm telling you, she has overcome so much. She is an overcomer. Never knew her mother and dad until after she got out of the orphanage from the time she was a baby. But Angie, I'm telling you, you are an overcomer. Bless the Lord. You're such a blessing. Being obese, and that was me, a little fat girl. My daddy said once, if I had that fat, I'd cut it off. And he hated fat. In fact, when he was in a retirement center, next door was a nursing home, but he was in the retirement center, I said, "Dad, I said, are those little ladies trying to, you know, put their moves on you?" He said, "Oh, Jerry," he said, "they're all overweight and that's all they do is eat." He didn't like fat. And so I was rejected a whole lot just growing up because of being overweight. And so I know what that feels like. And then also, if you're born physically handicapped, you're born without eardrums, or you're born crippled, there's rejection that comes in. And you know, when we curse people and we speak curses over people and we don't speak life over people, they receive a spirit of rejection. In fact, we put them in a fat prison, or we put them in a prison. Not measuring up to what the parents' image of what's perfect. If I'm not perfect, I'm not loved. Being cursed and criticized, told I'm stupid, a negative word spoken over me, being sexually abused, a girl that's sexually abused by her father, or a son that's sexually abused by the mother, that's rejection because the child's not to be used as a sex partner. And so that's rejecting who that child is. Being physically abused, emotionally abused, spiritually abused, being some children that spend the first few months of their life in an incubator, They can receive a spirit of rejection and feel like nobody cares. Children being hospitalized and left alone in the hospital can receive rejection. Alcohol and drug abuse, being bullied and ridiculed and shamed at school and or by your mother or father. Probably two or three Lake Hamilton's ago, we were confessing negative words that had been spoken, and I was letting people share the things that had been spoken over them. And one lady said something, I don't know if she's here or not, but I thought, how terrible. But some of the words that were spoken over her is, I hate you. Why don't you go kill yourself? I wish you'd die. Why don't you kill yourself? Can you imagine if a child hears those kind of words, the rejection that comes in, makes them feel worthless, no good? Given away. Adopted children or children that are in foster homes are given away. Being the middle child, sometimes the middle child, if there's rejection in a family, the middle child will pick up the rejection because they're not the oldest and they're not the youngest. The absence of a parent, especially the father, not being loved like you should be loved by your mother and father. Rejected by the opposite sex, by a boyfriend, by a mate, by a marriage partner, especially rejection in your teens. Not being married, feeling alone, loneliness. Long-term illness, legalistic parents, I'll love you if you perform, jump through the hoops. A broken heart can enter a person when they're divorced. And some of the fruits of rejection are pride. I don't know if you are familiar with people that have been extremely rejected. I mean, it's just like one problem after the other, and life revolves around them. Trying to be important. Attention getting. You put down others to make yourself look good. You can cop preposterous stories so that people will love you and accept you. I remember I had a guy come into the ministry, and he'd go to bars and he would tell people that he was a private detective. He would concoct some of the most outlandish stories to get somebody to make him feel important. People pleasing. Distance yourself from other people and from God. You keep people at arm's length. You build walls around your heart. You want to give gifts to somebody. You want to buy people's love because you want to be accepted. You think if you give people things or you buy people that they'll love you. And you know what? As Christians, we love people regardless. Been a stiff hugger. Have you ever hugged somebody and they were stiff as a board? That's rejection. That's walls that have been built around people's hearts. There's one lady that we pray for in the prayer team when she comes to Lake Hamilton, and I make her hug me. Give me a soft hug. You know, these stiff hugs. That's from your rejection. You wall people out. You seek for love in all the wrong places, through sex, through pornography, through drugs, through alcohol, fornication. Negative and perverse desires. Condemnation. Guilt. Confounded, you feel mixed up and damned and uneasy. Comparison, judging others, legalistic, performer, rebellion, perfectionism, control others or let others control you. You know, people that have a strong rejection, if they find someone that they love, they're possessive of that person and controlling of that person. Or to be loved, I'll let you control me. Neither is good. Worry, dissatisfaction, discontent, lack of transparency, fear of letting people really know who you are, failure to confront issues, passivity, multiple fears, bitter expectations. You know, if you're trained up to be rejected, you have an expectation that you're going to be rejected, and you push people to do that bad thing that fulfills your picture of how life goes. It's like you draw people to do what you expect of how you're trained up. Trained up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Hatred, jealousy and envy, blame shift and condemn others, don't take accountability for your sin. Being double-minded, inability to love yourself, despair, depression, hopelessness, fainting spirit, you want to give up, quit, and if you're married, you want to bail out, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, lack of confidence, procrastination, hundreds of fears, accusations against God, you have a perverted image of God, angry at God. You know, if you're angry at God, that tells me you're angry at your daddy. If you have prayerlessness, which is another fruit of rejection, it's because you never could communicate with your daddy or your mother. That's the root to prayerlessness. If you grew up and your parents are talking to you all the time and communicating with you, it's easy for you to believe God wants to talk to you. An unloving spirit, which is a spirit that nitpicks you, is self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, self-condemnation. It's an antichrist spirit, a lying spirit. You don't want to tell the truth because you don't want to get in trouble and you'd be rejected. Self-pity, a martyr spirit, a victim spirit. You self-sabotage yourself. Negative confession, lack of confidence, excessive talkativeness. Have you ever been around someone? Are you that person that hems somebody in with their talkiveness? They'll talk, and they hem you into a corner that talking. And God says where there's excessive talk, there's transgressions is unaboundable. Transgression unabounds. Fainting spirit. Perverted image of God. Angry at God. Idolatry. Inferiority. Insecurity. Timidity. Low self-esteem. Fear of making mistakes. Abandonment, rebellion, manufactured personalities. I'll create a personality to fit every situation, kind of like a chameleon. You're going to love me because I'm going to create a personality that fits in. Schizophrenia, driven to perform perfectly. Live in a state of unrest because you're trying to strive, basically turning the potter's wheel to make yourself perfect. The only way we can be perfect is to get on the potter's wheel, which is pictured taking his yoke on our neck and learning from him because it's light and easy and we find rest for our soul. So people that don't rest, they're wearing the wrong yoke. Jesus wants us to wear the yoke of Jesus. And so you know, people with unrest need to have a revelation of the potter's wheel, revelation of wearing the yoke of Jesus, which is a picture of coming under God's control. Unbelief and doubt, stubbornness, idolatry, ingratitude. And when we have this evil spirit working in our lives, we're going to feel rejected even when we may not at the time being rejected. Rejection robs people of relationships. The spirit lies to us and tells us that nobody loves us. And no matter how much you would tell a person that's rejected that you love them, they never believe it. And it makes it real difficult for a person that's rejected to receive love and to give love. The spirit of rejection will have you believing that to be accepted by God, you have to be accepted by others. It's idolatry because it's looking to man to validate you instead of believing what God said about you. God says that you are accepted in the Beloved. I love you with an everlasting love. And Jesus is not a man that he can lie. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And so the idolatry of the idea that who you are and what you do is determined by someone's opinion of you rather than God's opinion of you. Rejection is one of the strongest forms of unbelief and doubt because it contradicts everything that God says about you. A person with this spirit always feels like he's on the outside looking in. Rejection communicates to you through other people, or it might be just working in you. It communicates that through somebody just snubbing you or walling you out or leaving you out, ignoring you, not listening to you, making you feel guilty, with a disgusted look, no respect, being disdained, through putting walls up against you, impatient answer, snubbing you, disrespect, giving you the silent treatment, making little digs, little critical digs, little sarcasms, making you feel like a failure, a disappointment. So what you do and who you are is not determined by what someone thinks of you. It's by what God says about you. This thing jumps. If anybody knows how to make the iPad where it doesn't jump, please come see me after the meeting. It'll jump about 4 pages and then I have to find my place again. And we've all experienced rejection from one time or the other, some more severely than others. Feeling rejected is one of the most devastating of all emotions, because God created us to love and to be loved. And He created us with an innate desire to love and be accepted. The Bible says God is love. And what He says about us is the only thing that really matters. He says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that we're His workmanship, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens Him. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We always triumph in Jesus' name. He loves us with an everlasting love. The spirit of rejection has an assignment against us to steal these scriptural truths from us and make us feel like we're worthless, like we're no good, like we're a misfit. Isaiah 53 says, "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one whom men hide their faces from him, he was despised and we esteemed him not." Through the blood of Jesus that He shed at Calvary, He made it possible for us to get delivered from a spirit of rejection. We don't have to live in rejection. Jesus didn't have a spirit of rejection, but He was rejected. But God wants to deliver us from this evil spirit of rejection. Here are a few words that encourages our heart. In Psalms 27:10, it says, "For when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up." Hallelujah. That means when mother and daddy let me go, God will take me up. No matter where we go, no matter what we go through, His grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ might dwell in me.'" God will never leave you or forsake you. Psalms 94:4, "The Lord will not abandon you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He likes what He created. You're His workmanship." Psalms 139, verse 13 says, "He has formed my inward parts and has weaved me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works. My soul knows it very well." He is for you. Romans 8:3 says, "What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Now, He shed His precious blood at Calvary to make you what He created for you to be, to save you, to deliver you, to set you free, and it's a process that takes a lifetime. Little by little, God wants to change us from glory to glory and from strength to strength. When we walk in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." It goes on to say, "Who walks after the Spirit and not the flesh." Most of the modern translations leave that scripture out, and that's very key. Because when you don't walk in the Spirit, there is condemnation. God lets the devil condemn you. So when you feel condemned, make sure there's no sin in your life, because that's why you feel condemned. The Bible says, "If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness." The scripture says He's inscribed you on His hands and He's watching your back. Isaiah 49, verse 16, He says, "Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me." He heals you of your wounds. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, "For I will restore you to health and will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord, because I have because they have called you an outcast. It is Zion. No one cares for her. And of course, you're Zion if you love the Lord with all your heart. He will dwell with you, and he accepts you. Leviticus 26, verse 11. Now, there, moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. God has chosen you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. It says, and the things of the world, and the despised, or the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things, that he might mortify. Somebody read 1 Corinthians to me, for me. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 28. Who will read that for me? I'm having a difficult time. That he will nullify the things that no man should boast before God. And I'm going to ask my grandson to read this chapter here of Isaiah 54. David, would you come?
Praise God. Isaiah 54. Shout for joy, barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle in desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will send your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones. All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows a fire of coals and brings out a weapon for work. I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Hallelujah.
So we need to accept the fact that God loves us, that he loves us with an everlasting love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Because God is love, he cannot stop loving you. Hallelujah. No matter what you do, he loves you. His love is everlasting. And if he's love, he needs someone to love, and that's you. He chose you. John 15 says that you didn't choose him, but he chose you, that you might go and bear fruit. You know, and don't know exactly the scripture because I hadn't planned to use it, but he rebuked the Jews. He took salvation away from the Jews to give it to those that produced the nation that produced the fruit of it. So he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. So if we don't produce fruit, then the scripture says in John 15 that we're cut off. And any good fruit that comes from you will come, as you say, on the potter's wheel, because he's the potter and you're the clay, and he takes the junk out, right? The potter turns the potter's wheel, he fires the clay, he shapes the clay, he molds the clay, and he presents this clay to fulfill his destiny for that particular person. And if you're not on the potter's wheel, he can't fix you. And so that's a picture of being yielded to him, not trying to turn it. But he's going to fix everything, all of our frailties, everything that's in us, he's going to perfect it. You can't miss him if you stay yielded to him. And he'll deliver you from the spirit of rejection. And so one way we get, when the pain of rejection surfaces, we need to ask the Lord to show us how did it get there. And it may happen more than once. I mean, if you feel rejected today, okay, God, where did that come in? I saw a whole bunch of things when I was preparing this message that I had long time forgotten of rejection that I experienced growing up. And so ask him where the door point or where the entry point that where the spirit of rejection entered you, and deal with each of these places one by one until God delivers you from the spirit of rejection and all the demons that accompany rejection. And so to get free, I have to deal with what God shows me on a daily basis and keep on dealing with it. If I don't deal with these things, what happens is I'm going to be set up to continually be rejected until I deal with the spirit of rejection. And so I'm sure y'all can think of places where you've all been rejected and where you've rejected others. And so I'm going to ask you to stand up, and wherever you feel hurt, wherever you feel rejected, wherever you feel like that you've been walled out, start asking the Lord. A lot has to do with how you're trained up. If you're trained up in your childhood to be rejected, until you deal with that, those childhood issues, you'll keep on being rejected. And so pray with me, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, in Jesus' name, I invite your Holy Spirit to come into every memory that you won't heal. Lord, forgive me for vowing that I won't remember, I won't think about it. I ask you to show me where the spirit of rejection entered me, in Jesus' name. In the generations, you know, if you have forefathers, like for example, in this, I thank God, you know, God is no respecter of persons, but a lot of rejection comes down through slavery and through what white people did to African Americans to hurt them, to reject them. And so I ask you as a white American to please forgive me for everything that anyone did to hurt any of your forefathers, because God loves each of us. And if you know, if we are biased and we reject people, listen, God loves all of us. He loves all of our colors. Whatever color he made us, he loves us. And if we don't love, the scripture says, how can we say we love God if we can't love our Christian brother? If you can't love your brother whom you've seen, how do you think you can love God whom you've not seen? So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show me anybody I've rejected or anyone that's rejected me, and show me how the spirit of rejection entered me in the name of Jesus. And then just repent of everything the Lord shows you, and then just sit down, and then we'll do deliverance. And you can expect to be rejected if you're going to follow God. That's a different kind of rejection. You know, it starts with mother and dad. If your mother and daddy give you a loving, nurturing home, and they train you up in the way you should go, with love, with nurture, with protection, with provision, rejection doesn't affect you a whole lot. But you see, parents don't do that because their parents didn't do it, and their parents didn't do it. It's just a generational curse. So, Lord, I forgive my mother and father and my forefathers for not training me up in the way I should go, training me up to be rejected. I forgive them. I forgive my forefathers for rejecting my mother and father, and their fathers and mothers rejecting them. Lord, I just take accountability for the spirit of rejection. I forgive my forefathers if they conceived their children illegitimately. If I was conceived illegitimately, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them for that. I break that generational curse of illegitimacy all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, cleanse my bloodline of the curses that have come down my bloodline through illegitimacy, through a root of rejection, in Jesus' name. I break the power of shame. I break the power of rebellion. I break the power of lust. I break the power of the root of rejection that came down through illegitimacy in the name of Jesus. The curse of the bastard in the name of Jesus. I break it in Jesus' name. And Carla's going to teach on that in the morning, so they'll have a greater teaching on the curse of the bastard. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I forgive every person for rejecting me. I forgive my brothers and sisters. I forgive siblings. I forgive teachers and my peers and kids at school. And Lord, forgive me for not rejoicing and being exceedingly glad when I'm rejected because of you. I ask you to forgive me. Help me in the future to know that I'm going to be rejected. I don't have to have an evil spirit of rejection, but I will be rejected because you live in me. Lord, forgive me for not, help me not take it personal. Forgive me for taking it personal when people reject me because I love you and I want to walk the narrow way. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents for not protecting me, for throwing me away, for not wanting me, for criticizing me, for not being there for me. Lord, forgive me for not believing that you love me and that you accept me. I forgive my parents and siblings for being controlling, for perfectionism, for loving me based on my performance. Lord, I ask you to remove any nervousness that's come in through perfectionistic parents. Lord, I forgive my parents for everything I heard when I was in the womb. If I was wanted or unwanted, loved or unloved, welcomed or unwelcome. Lord, I just renounce all the negative emotions of my mother when I was in the womb. I renounce the spirit of sadness that came in the womb. I forgive my parents for not wanting me. I forgive them for saying that I'm the wrong sex when I'm the sex you created me to be, God. I forgive them for abandoning me physically, emotionally. I forgive my daddy that he wasn't there, that I never knew him if I didn't. I forgive my parents for divorce. I forgive my forefathers and my grandparents for divorce. My forefathers for divorce. I renounce the rejection that came in when my dad and mother left. I forgive my parents that I was an orphan. They gave me away. I didn't grow up with my mama and my daddy. I forgive my mother and father for all the stepmothers and stepfathers I've had and all the rejection that came in through that. I forgive them for leaving me alone with babysitters and caretakers. I forgive them for sending me off to boarding schools. Now, of course, this is if they did. Putting me in an orphanage. I forgive people for rejecting me because I was fat and overweight or because I was physically handicapped, not measuring up to my parents' image of perfection. I forgive my parents or anyone that sexually abused me, physically abused me, mentally abused me, emotionally abused me, spiritually abused me. I break soul ties with anyone who molested me. I cut and sever every cord of control linking their souls to mine. Call back my soul and spirit from them, cleansed, sanctified, and made whole by the blood of Jesus. Send back their souls and spirits to them. And Lord, if I was put in an incubator or isolated, I forgive. If I was put in a hospital and left alone, I forgive them. I break the power of the negative words that are spoken over me, that I'm stupid, that no one wants me, I'm unworthy, no one likes me, no one, I'll never have anyone love me, I'll always be hated and rejected. I break the power of those words. I renounce alcohol and drug abuse. I forgive my mother and father for alcohol and drug abuse. Lord, I just, in the name of Jesus, I forgive every person that's ever bullied me or ridiculed me or made sport of me. I forgive my dad for not being my glory. Lord, would you please come and be my glory? I want you to lift your hands to heaven and ask God to come be your glory. Lord, you're the greatest glory anybody could ever have. and I receive you as my Abba Father, and I forgive my father that he was never he was never there for me. If he was not there for me, that he was not a godly influence. I forgive him for not being my glory, and Lord, I receive you as my glory. I forgive my mother and father for giving me away. I forgive my parents that they favored the oldest child, they favored the youngest child, and I was stuck in the middle and rejected. I forgive my parents, my father for not being there, my mother for not being there. I forgive my parents for not loving me like parents should love me, not training me up in the way I should go. Everybody pray. I forgive them for rejecting me because I was an opposite sex of what they wanted. Lord, I renounce loneliness in the name of Jesus, the spirit of loneliness, in Jesus' name. I renounce self-pity, martyr spirit, legalism, performance. Lord, I ask you to bind up my broken heart, press me out, banish me, solve me with oil. Forgive me for pride, attention getting, putting other people down. Lord, forgive me for concocting preposterous stories, if I did. Lord, forgive me for people pleasing. Lord, forgive me for distrusting other people. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to heal my heart. Lord, forgive me for building walls around my heart. Lord, forgive me for searching for love in all the wrong places, through sexual sin, through pornography, adultery. God, forgive me for negative and perverse thoughts. Forgive me for not walking in the Spirit. Lord, I ask you to remove the guilt. I bring it to the cross. I break the power of confusion, being confounded, mixed up, made to feel damned and uneasy. I break the power of comparison. Forgive me for comparing myself to others, judging others, trying to perform. Forgive me for rebellion. God, forgive me for distancing myself from you and from others. Forgive me for controlling others and letting other people control me. Forgive me for being possessive in my relationships, jealousy and envious. Forgive me for worry. Well, forgive me for fear, dissatisfaction, distrust. Lord, forgive me for being closed off, lack of transparency. Forgive me for fear of confronting, failure to confront. Forgive me for people-pleasing, fear of failure, fear of man. Lord, forgive me for fear of confrontation, fear of being blamed, fear of not doing everything perfectly. Forgive me for procrastination. Forgive me for fear of making mistakes. God, I ask you to forgive me for timidity and shyness and fear of people, fear that no one will like me. Forgive me for believing the lie that no one cares, that no one loves me. Forgive me for not knowing how much you love me, Lord. Give me a revelation of how much you love me, Lord. Forgive me for manufacturing personalities to receive love, to cope. Lord, forgive me for having an expectation that I'm going to be rejected. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for hating myself, hating others. Forgive me for blame shifting, condemning others, being double-minded. Lord, forgive me for not loving myself, for despair, depression, hopelessness, discontentment, a fainting spirit. God, forgive me for anxiety and tension and stress and lack of confidence. God, I ask you to forgive me for inferiority. Forgive me for discouragement, fainting. Forgive me for wanting to give up and quit. Forgive me for wanting to kill myself. Forgive me for lack of confidence. God, I just, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for hating myself, being bitter toward myself, rejecting myself, holding unforgiveness toward myself. God, forgive me for feeling lonely and isolating myself. I command the spirit of loneliness to leave every person in this room. Forgive me for lying, fear of telling the truth, fear that I'll be rejected if I tell the truth. God, forgive me for self-pity and being a martyr. Lord, forgive me for self-sabotage, having a victim spirit, being trained up to be a victim. In the name of Jesus, for making negative confessions, lack of confidence. God, forgive me for excessive talkativeness, walling people in, talking nonstop. God, forgive me for having a perverted image of you. I renounce the lie that you're just like my mother, father. You're just like the people that rejected me, that you reject me too. That to be accepted by you, I have to be accepted by other people. That's a lie. Lord, forgive me for making you a liar. Forgive me for possessiveness, passivity, perverseness, low self-esteem, fear of making mistakes, fear of abandonment, rebellion. Forgive me for creating personalities to cope, to get somebody to love me. Forgive me for not telling the truth and making up stories. Forgive me for being driven to be perfect. Forgive me for unbelief and doubt. God, forgive me for being stubborn. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for cursing others, and I forgive those that have cursed me. Forgive me for being ungrateful. Lord, in Jesus' name, I repent of self-pity, self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. Forgive me for not believing what you said about me, Lord. I forgive people for making me feel guilty, walling me out. I forgive every person who's ever shunned me, built a wall up against me, gave me a disgusted look. I forgive those who've not listened to me, who've treated me as a non-person. I forgive every person that for treating me, disdaining me. I forgive every person who has shown favoritism against me, treated me like I was a disappointment, giving me the silent treatment. I forgive every person that's disrespected me, made little digs, cutting remarks, and sarcasm. I forgive every person that's made me feel like a failure, that I was a disappointment, of no value. I don't belong, and I'm not loved. That's a lie. Lord, you accept me. You love me. I thank you that you said when my mother and father forsake me, you'll take me up. Thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that when I'm weak, I'm strong, that your strength is made perfect in my weakness, that I always triumph in Jesus' name. Lord, that your power is made perfect in my weakness. God, I thank you that I'm accepted in the Beloved, that you love me with an everlasting love. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive as you show me where rejection entered me. I forgive my mom and dad that I was trained up to be rejected. I forgive my forefathers. I break generational curses. I break soul ties with every person who's rejected me. I cut and sever every cord of control linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. Everybody pray. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in the name of Jesus. Now we come against the spirit of rejection in Jesus' name. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. You demon that nitpicks us day and night. Tells us we're not worthy, that we're not wanted, we're not loved. You lying spirit, we command you to come out. We command the root of rejection, the spirit of rejection. We command you to go now. All antichrist spirits, all spirits of unbelief and doubt, you have to go. All hurt, shame, unworthiness, go. Despair, hopelessness, you go now in Jesus' name. Fainting spirits, you leave now. Come out, take a deep breath and blow it out in Jesus' name. Cough it out in Jesus' name. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I break the power of fear of being blamed. I break the power of the principality of rejection, the principality of fear. I command the spirit of fear to leave now in Jesus' name. Swallowed up by fear, I command you to spit every person out in the name of Jesus. I break your power, all fear, in the name of Jesus, working in any person. I command you out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the rejection that's come down through African-American heritage, through slavery. I break the power of that rejection of people rejecting color. I break the power of that. I break the power of hatred. I break the power of bigotry. I break the power of shame, embarrassment, humiliation. You go now in the name of Jesus. I break the power of performance, perfectionism. Come out now. All spirits that came in through being shunned, go now. All spirits of guilt, come out. All lying spirits that I don't fit in, go out. In Jesus' name, you have to go. Every spirit that came into someone not listening to me, not being a sense of disdainment, go now in Jesus' name. All spirits, I tear down those walls in the name of Jesus. I break them down in the mighty name of Jesus. You have to go now in Jesus' name. I break the power of all performance. Every lie in Jesus' name. Every spirit that came in through people giving them the silent treatment, making fun of them. All spirits that came in through being bullied, through being cheated and being bullied and not fit in. And in Jesus' name, you go in the name, power, blood. Just give a breath. Cough it out. Disrespect. Come out. All spirits of sarcasm, little digs, go now in Jesus' name. All spirits of hurt, pain, grief, sadness, sorrow that came in through that. A broken heart. I bind up their broken hearts. I press them out. I bandage them. I soften them with oil in the name of Jesus. You have to go in Jesus' name. All spirits that tell them they're no good, they're worthless, get out now in Jesus' name. All spirits that tell them that no one loves them, get out. All spirits of hurt, go. In Jesus' name, I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. You come out in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Every lying spirit that tells them that God doesn't love them, that God doesn't want them, that no one wants them, that they're unacceptable, they're undesirable, that's a lying spirit, get out now in Jesus' name. You come out now in the spirit of rejection. I break your power. I tear down. The weapons of my warfare are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds. I smash down in the name of Jesus every spirit of rejection, shame, hurt, grief, sadness, sorrow. Come out now in Jesus' name. I tear down every stronghold that would keep us from knowing that God loves us. In Jesus' name, I break the power, break every assignment of rejection that would tell us that God's word is not true. All back problems, you come out in the name of Jesus. All turning back, all backsliding spirits, you come out. All hopelessness and despair, you come out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you bore my sorrows at Calvary. I thank you, Lord, that you were rejected. And Lord, I forgive the people that have rejected me. Forgive me for taking rejection personally when I've been rejected for your sake. Forgive me for not rejoicing and being exceedingly glad. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you and praise you that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, I'm weak, and you said when I'm weak, I'm strong. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Thank you that you will not abandon me or forsake me. God, I thank you and praise you, and I bless you that you formed my inward parts. And you said I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I'm your workmanship. God, I thank you and praise you that your works are good. Thank you that you're pleased with what you made. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name that there's no condemnation. Lord, forgive me for living under condemnation. Forgive me for living sin, with sin in my life that would cause me to be under condemnation. And Lord, thank you that you're for me, and if you're for me, no one can be against me. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and praise you that there's no condemnation. Lord, thank you that your eyes are upon me, that you've inscribed me on your hand, and that my walls are continually before you. Lord, I thank you that you will heal me of my wounds, that you restore my health. Lord, I thank you and praise you that people have called me an outcast, and that no one cares for me. That's a lie in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you dwell with me. I praise you, Lord. I praise you that you'll make your dwelling among me and you will not reject me, that you've chosen me, Lord, that I might go bear fruit. Lord, as I'm on the potter's wheel, I bear fruit. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you take the junk out of me. Thank you that you're the potter and I'm the clay. Forgive me for trying to turn the potter's wheel to perform so that somebody would love me and accept me, Lord. Forgive me for that. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I ask you, God. Lord, I want to break forth with joy, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and shout aloud your victory over my life. Lord, I praise you. I command all depression to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of a fainting spirit. Go. All spirits that tell me I'm undesirable, get out now in Jesus' name. All spirits that cause me to stand on the sideline and feel like I don't fit in, go now in Jesus' name. I break down every barrier of rejection. Lord, forgive me for rejecting myself in the name of Jesus. Go now in Jesus' name. In the name of all spirits of sorrow and sadness, go. All the demons that came in the womb where I heard that I wasn't wanted, I wasn't welcome, I wasn't loved, I was the wrong sex, nobody wanted me. I break the power of that. I break the generational curse of illegitimacy coming down the bloodline. In Jesus' name, I break your power over every life. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Now, Lord, I bind up their broken heart. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a man of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be an oath of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you, Lord. Your name is Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We praise you, Lord. We love you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, our fortress, our God, in whom we take refuge. In Jesus' name, now every demon that came in that's associated with rejection, you have to go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. And when you feel relief, let your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.